DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm beyond delighted to be joined by Mother Dolores Hart, who is the prioress of the Abbey of Regina Laudis in Bethlehem, Connecticut. A former actress, she remains a voting member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. With Mother Dolores Hart, we go inside the pages of The Ear of the Heart, an actress's journey from Hollywood to Holy Vows, published by Ignatius Press. Dolores Hart stunned Hollywood in 1963 when, after 10 highly successful feature films, she chose to enter a contemplative monastery. Now, 50 years later, Mother Dolores gives us this fascinating account of her life with co-author and lifelong friend Richard Danute. Dolores was a bright and beautiful college student when she made her film debut with Elvis Presley in Paramount's 1957 Loving You. She acted in 9 more movies with other big stars such as Montgomery Clift, Anthony Quinn, and Myrna Loy. She also gave Tony-nominated performance in the Broadway play The Pleasure of His Company and appeared in television shows including The Virginian and Playhouse 90. An important chapter in her life occurred while playing St. Clair in the movie Francis of Assisi, which was filmed on location in Italy. Born Dolores Hicks to a complicated and colorful Chicago family, Mother Dolores has traveled a charmed yet challenging road in her journey toward God, serenity, and yes, love. She entered the Abbey of Regina Laudis in Bethlehem, Connecticut, in the peak of her career, not in order to leave the glamorous world of acting she had dreamed of since childhood, but in order to answer a mysterious call she heard with the ear of the heart. While contracted for another film and engaged to be married, she abandoned everything to become a bride of Christ. Mother, thank you for the blessing of your time and your gift in this book. Just thank you.
Thank you very much for your response. I really appreciate that.
Mother, it contains a message that, can we say ultimately it's about hospice, about that healing love that can occur when we really truly do take time to listen.
Thank you. That's a beautiful way of expressing it.
It's a beautiful work. I mean, even the title, The Ear of the Heart, for those familiar with the Benedictine rule, that's really what St. Benedict calls us to, first to listen with that ear of the heart.
Well, thank you. That's a Lustig's idea. And when he first presented it to me, I said, oh, but won't people think it's a medical journal? And he said, no. He said, you stop that. You're being cynical. And I said, all right, I apologize. And he was right. I think the title really is just what it is meant to be.
The story that you share with us is one that, of course, begins with your childhood, which, Mother, today so many children are experiencing what at your time in life might have been considered not a normal childhood, but today is very normal. The breaking up of families and the pain and the brokenness, that instability can be the source of so much hurt in today's world.
Well, I think that you're absolutely correct. What seemed to be very different when I was growing up. I came from a family situation that few did in those days. But in a way, I can see now that, again, the will of the Lord was running ahead of me, because I think right now it allows me to understand more deeply exactly what people do go through and what a dividing experience it is when you have parents who are in different camps. Mm-hmm. You think you can handle it, but none of us do for a long time. My grandparents were God's way of answering my own need for a parental love and for stability and for those whom I could trust. They were extraordinary people that I miss and look forward to meeting again one day.
Mm. I love the story of your first communion, of being that young girl in the school who was not Catholic at the time, but wanted to be a part of something.
Well, I did. And of course, I told the sister, I want to have bed with the children. And she thought I meant the Eucharist, and not what I wanted with the sweet rolls. No. But I think the Lord took, as he always does, the very humble things of our life and the humble things that we desire, and leads us into a more true way of living.
And Mother, that's so beautiful about this entire book, is that in all of those experiences that you share with us, it's upon reflection. I mean, sometimes we can listen, but while we're in the moment, we don't fully grasp what the Lord was doing until we have a chance to ponder.
Yes, that's right, Chris.
I think it's said at one point in the book that you really were probably the most envied girl in Hollywood, if not in the nation.
Yeah, that's right. I think the most unbelievable shock of my young life was that one relationship with the guy that everybody wanted. When I went back to school after having just met Elvis and the members of the film crew, they said, oh, did you bring home a lock of his hair? I said, what are you talking about? I wouldn't cut a lock of his hair off. And why? And then, of course, they filled me in who he was, and that he was the same Elvis that had been on the television show and been cut off from the waist.
And the experiences you had, I mean, you met so many people.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first saw the papers, when it said, the Heart Girl is the envy of the nation, and I said, who is she? And I just did not realize that I was in that cast.
Mm.
So I think that's what happens so often in our life. The Lord gives us amazing gifts and brings us into an incredible advantage in our life, and we don't realize it for a long time how beautifully we were put into our mission.
Mm. But there was something happening for you as well, because even in the midst of all of that, you could have taken a certain path in your life. And yet there was this stability, can I say, of virtue that seemed to be playing out. And you may not have even realized it.
No, I didn't. I didn't. But in a certain way, I think God's presence, his gifts, always come through people that we don't realize at first are the emissary or are the angel. For me, it was Maria Cooper, who became a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just a year older than I. But Maria, her father was Gary Cooper. She had grown up in Hollywood. And she knew the ropes. She knew what to do and what not to do. And she became a great help for me all through my life in Hollywood, constantly giving me a clue as to what would be worthwhile doing and where not to go.
Mm. It wasn't that you hadn't experienced the edges of life, can I put it that way?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You saw a lot of how rough it could be, and yet you had all these angels, as it were, in the lives of so many people who gave you such paternal warmth, like a Gary Cooper.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I became his godmother when he finally entered the church many, many years later. in 1960. I believe, when I say many years later, it seemed like many years later.
Yeah.
It was 2 years later. but that was a great privilege.
Mm.
And I still have a beautiful, it's a cross with the some of the remains of St. Therese of Lisieux within it.
Well, I would say that relic probably would be more cherished by many than even the lock of hair from Elvis Presley.
Hey, that's a wonderful, that is a wonderful insight. I will keep that. That's very good.
Those years in Hollywood were actually quite short. But yet you had the opportunity to go into a depth that really honed your acting abilities. I was thinking of some of the films that you made in Europe at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I recently had a chance to see Lisa. Wow, what a powerful performance.
Well, I thank you. I thank you so much for that recall and for seeing it. It was indeed the most important film, I believe, in my whole career, and one which took me into places that I never thought I would have to go. The world of Lisa Held was, of course, a world that showed her as a person held by the Nazis for medical experiments,
mm-hmm.
and then amazingly liberated by the person that Stephen Boyd held.
Mm-hmm.
And in his character, he leads Lisa out of the trauma of the Nazi environment. But I have never realized myself what the Jewish people had undergone in that experiment of and the experience of the war. It was a shock to my system. A friend of mine introduced me to a woman, Suzanne Zada,
mm-hmm.
who had lived that herself, and she was a great help to me to get into that part and to obey it with all of the energy that my limited acting experience could bring to it.
Mm. And yet there was something that really touches, I have to say it, the heart when you watch it, and to realize that it was filmed not even 20 years after the experience of so many in Europe. I think that's why it spoke so strongly to a European audience. And
mm-hmm.
and in a way, Mother, and I don't mean to stretch this, but it seems as though what that character was undergoing and her need for healing is not unlike the type of torture. Hers was a physical torture, but also the emotional. And even in our spiritual life, we undergo
yes.
a torture that sometimes we need the help of others to help bring us through.
Well, the dissociation that so many people go through nowadays because of being split up in their family, not having the right environment, and being used in the wrong way, entering into sexual relationship that has no true value, and then coming away, finding themselves not knowing who they are. Lisa did teach me that the world was going to change,
mm-hmm.
and I had to be ready and to be capable of compassion for people, young persons, who really were at war with the evil spirit.
Yeah, it's amazing what chaos, that type of pain can cause.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's so wonderful about the stability of the rule of Saint Benedict.
Yes.
To you in your life.
I think that the gift of that stability is unbelievably consoling and healing, because when you know to a certain extent, because none of us know what's coming in the next minute, the next hour, But when there's a way of living that gives you that planting into your life in such a way that you can do things, you can't count on another hour, another day, the flower will grow that you plant. It's a very healing thing.
Well, and the trust that it took for you when you eventually would visit the monastery and you began to have this peace that would come about, and then you would leave and you yearned for that peace to pursue that and to try to figure out, well, am I being called to something? I love that, those portions of the books with your conversation with Reverend Mother Benedict.
Yes, she was wonderful. It's such a beautiful, another angel in my life, but a very severe one, because she would never let anything go by without going right to the quick. You know, just when I spoke to her, what is it that you want, Dolores? Well, I want this and this and this. Well, of course you do. But what is it that you really feel you must do? Well, this is God's desire. No, it's not God's desire. God desires for you to desire. He knows what he wants. You find out what you want. Oh, she was amazing.
Well, Mother, I don't think you could have gotten a bigger hint than if the Holy Father, Pope John the 23rd, looks right at you. Kind of almost changes your name in a way by looking at you, and it brings you to another woman who was called to an enclosure.
Yes, indeed. And when he said to me, "No, no, Chiara," and I said, "Oh, no, Your Excellency, my name is Dolores." And he looked at me and he said, "No, no, for you, it is Chiara." And I stood there, and I can't argue with him. He's the head of the church. He's the one but this is all going through my mind in a split second. And the shock of what is he saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right on the button.
to be able to be a part of that particular movie, I have to tell you, Mother, that is, I've seen them all. I've seen all the different films on the lives of Francis and Claire. In that one, there's something very poignant, something very compelling about the performances and the production of that particular life of Francis.
Well, I really appreciate that, because I certainly felt so. I felt, living in Assisi as we did for almost 3 months, and I was, for a long time, I was the only woman in the crew. And I just was there observing and absorbing everything and waiting for my turn to say the few things that I was called on to say. But in the meantime, my soul was just becoming vibrant with the truth of these two beautiful persons who had given their lives to God and were living in the church that was near my hotel window, and the actual body of St. Clair, who was just down the street.
There is such a peace to the place. That the thing is, Mother, there were many people there with you at the time, and yet for you, it wasn't necessarily evident that you were supposed to leave this career, this life. Actually, this wonderful friendship, relationship you had engaged. I mean, nothing was an indicator on the surface that was all going to change in a rather short period of time.
Yes. Yes, it's it was all programmed, now that I look back on it. Mm-hmm. It all in within a matter of days, one thing would follow the next to follow the next. And when I see it now, it was very well designed. Mm-hmm. The dramatist did a good job.
Yeah, God's a really good writer. I think
he's
excellent.
Yes.
You know, what's so compelling is as you enter, I mean, there's such a richness to this blessing of this work that you've presented to all of us to absorb, that it I can only touch on certain points of it, but I think that a real standout is that when you enter the monastery, that the world may say you have to give up everything and that you lose yourself. But from everything you've shared with us, it shows as though you didn't actually lose anything, but yet all the things that the qualities inside of you, and even your gift, your vocation of being the actress, to be able to preserve the arts for a culture, that's what stands out. It becomes beautiful in its purity.
Well, I think that's the very thing that I try to help young people who come now to the monastery to understand, is that as we approach religious life now, don't leave everything at the gate. Don't leave your goods, your values, your capacity. Bring it with you. Bring it with you and allow it to be formed to serve in a completely free way in which you don't possess it out of its capacity to really move in God's own design. It's a false idea of true religious life when we have to feel we give up who we are. We can't. We must bring who we are with us and allow that person to emerge as a servant in the best possible way.
And even bring our suffering. And that's a difficult one. We run from suffering, don't we, Mother?
We do. We do indeed. And I suppose my suffering started in an intense way when I found that I had this disease called neuropathy. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be not curable. It was the kind of neuropathy that stays with us till death as our daily friend. And when I first got it, it attacked me so vehemently. I was 122 pounds and went down until 92. And was in a wheelchair. I thought my life was over, really, and was misdiagnosed by very, very willing, helpful doctors, but didn't know what this was. Mm-hmm. And until I met Dr. Norman Lattoff, who really was the one who gave me the key back to myself, because he helped me get the kind of medication that would keep the pain from absorbing me to the point where I couldn't move. Mm. And I also then had a therapist, Jenny Chevchetti, Jenny Paul, she came to be known. She helped me through getting the use of my body back and a realization of how much we depend and need the wholeness of our body to whatever extent we can reclaim it or use it or maintain it, because it's such a friend indeed. And as the Lord said, it's going to be our friend for eternity.
There's so much, Mother, in this book that I wish we could touch upon, that the founding of the theater and what it offers, the community surrounding it, but also the world, the hope, the beautiful music. Oh, the Women of Chant. I mean, that's, I think, how I first became familiar with the order or the monastery.
Oh,
I love that music.
Well, thank you very much for that recall. I appreciate that, and so will all of my sisters. Mm. We worked very hard to try to share our experience of Gregorian chant, which is such a healing and beautiful way of prayer. To pray together in the chant is an enormous gift. It takes you a while to figure out how to keep the rhythm of it and maintain it. But once you learn it and you're able to sing it with the community, that to me is the closest to heaven I'll be on this side.
Well, I have to, just as a quick aside, you must have rejoiced then when St. Hildegard was lifted up as a doctor of the church.
Yes, yes, that was wonderful. Yes, indeed.
And she loved the earth, and I just think it's so, I can't imagine her joy at seeing this community it growing and flourishing as it is.
Well, she would understand something like earofthehart.com. It's our website. And when you said Hildegard, and I thought, isn't it wonderful to have a woman so far in history who would immediately know, oh, yes, that's a website.
Well, it's wonderful. Well, I wish we had more time, Mother, but I would ask you, any final thoughts?
Well, I just thank you very much for what you are doing. And I want you to know that just the way you have listened and engaged my story and given me the context to offer this, your work and your message and your mission, Chris, is a wonderful one. And I will pray for you that you stay strong and as available as you do. Because if you help everyone the way you helped me this morning, that's going to be a wonderful mission for a long time.
Well, Mother, that you just don't even know what a sincere blessing that was just for me. So Godspeed in all you do, and you are in our prayers. I think your words today have just given us a nice warm anointing. I just thank you so much. I love this book. I just want to tell you, I didn't want to put it down.
Well,
I hope the story continues on for a second volume. How about that?
Oh, well, thank you. How encouraging you are. If you ever come to Connecticut, I'll sign the book. And if I ever get to Heartland, which I hope to do because I come from Chicago,
oh.
I'll find you.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it.
Okay.
Mother, thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
And you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. With Mother Dolores Hart, we've gone inside the pages of The Ear of the Heart, an actress's journey from Hollywood to holy vows. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.